some of the critical judgments that maybe could have happened in that first scenario.
Person procrastinator, lazy. Selfish.
Not good at their job.
Not good on their job.
Inconsiderate.
Financially irresponsible.
Anything else? Actually, here's the rest of the story. Then my wife got a letter along with the check and an apology from the individual. I am so sorry that this is late. I have cancer and am going through chemo. And because of that, I have memory loss. So when we look at that from the perspective of what we talked about, and I should have done that before I even shared that with you, but what are some of the things that you came up with that you could have judged that graciously?
We had said something might be going on in the worker's life, or that just they may be swamped, or it could be a misunderstanding.
Yeah, they might be busy, swamped, or something's going on.
They may have financial issues.
Yeah, they may be having financial problems, yeah.
Lost in the mail. Maybe it said wrong address,
yeah.
I think just try to seek out correct information.
Exactly.
Because it seems like they're talking to other people about it. Like, doesn't this person know? Instead of going to them directly, kind of just following up.
Exactly. Good point. That's what we talked about, right? Asking the right questions. Evaluating it. Determining what did happen without just jumping to a conclusion in a negative vein. How about the second one? What were some of the critical judgments you came up with that one? Come on.
Just a critical mother-in-law.
A critical mother-in-law.
Ungrateful.
Isolate himself. Could be something that would happen there. How about on a positive sense? How about a gracious judgment?
He doesn't know what was said before what he heard.
Very good. Anybody else?
They might have just missed him in the room because it had mentioned that there was 5 talkative girls.
Yeah. All that chitter-chatter?
Yeah.
Well, that particular situation, the mother-in-law was being very gracious with her daughters and just sharing about how wonderful Chris was, that he serves us every day. He goes and he gets our eyes for us every day. He's such an incredible servant. How blessed we are to have him. And she had just made that comment at the end. It's a shame today that he got lost or was late. So he just hadn't heard everything. And how often does that happen? Where we finish the sentence, right? Or we finish the situation and jump to a conclusion of what might have happened there. So in one of the sheets over there that you'll get to take home, there's some other kind of scenarios that you could then walk you through a few things that maybe will help you to get it again a little bit clearer. So please help yourself to the things that are over there. And there's a copy of the poem that I read. If anybody would like to take that, it's a good one to maybe have handy up on the refrigerator or on a mirror somewhere to look at on an ongoing basis, to just be able to ask God to change our hearts in certain aspects that maybe we need to do that. Another thing that I brought a copy of, those that know me in the room know what Christian music is for me. I was saved 40 years ago out of a cult, and a cult used music, secular music, as brainwashing. And so what the enemy tried to use for evil, God told me many years ago to replace that with truth. And so part of my teaching, whenever I taught, did a teaching for a number of years at Star of Hope, and those precious women that are there, and knowing what I went through in my life in those dark times, there's a song that became very, very crucial. It was my lifeline. The group way back then, some of you older ones like me might remember the group, and it was called, they were called For Him. Amazing group. And it's a song called Where the Chisel Meets the Stone. And it's it became my life verse. It became a verse that was my prayer on an ongoing basis. And I keep it close by, and it's in many ways part of my devotional time. God will lead me to many times to verses in the song. One of my favorites is that there's a woman inside of me who wants to have her way. I cannot comply. I relinquish this heart of mine. I'm desperate for your handiwork. I'm ready for the change. I can't wait to see what you will do with me. It was for my joy you endured the cross, and I am overwhelmed. I want my wheels to turn for you, not for myself. And it goes on and talks about, shape my heart to please your eyes alone, that I may live my life where the chisel meets the stone. May that be something that we think of. You know, God wants, right, this particular one we're talking about tonight, judging others, but there's so many other attitudes that we could talk about, right? That are habits that God developed somewhere along the line, that we need the chisel to work on those so that our hearts could please His eyes alone. So I pray, ladies, that you'll enjoy that. And so I brought the words to the song, if you'd like to take one of those as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Ask her questions.
Or... yes, anybody have any questions? Comments?
One thing we talked about at our table was if the offendee doesn't approach the offender, there's kind of not any way to find out if there was ever an offense in the first place. And
you
so, yeah, that if the offendee doesn't approach the offender, it's not really possible to find out if there was an offense in the first place. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
You know, it might be love covers over, you know, a multitude of sins or whatever. It might be that type of thing, but when it's sticking in your craw, if you don't go to find out what's going on, and as you said, Jan, just, you know, going in with questions and can you help me understand that or whatever. But otherwise, we get bitter and we hold on to it.
Absolutely.
And start seeing them through that lens, and
mm-hmm.
so...
Absolutely. It's critical. And one of the sheets you're going to take home has some really good points about that. Some people have gone through where they have been, someone has wronged them with critical judgments in the past. So how do you handle that? There's a section, there's some really good scriptures and notes on that you'll find. So there's some really rich things in the notes that I'm leaving. It was just so much we could have talked about. It's such an incredible opportunity for us to talk about those kind of things. And so anyway, I wanted to be sure that you had a fair amount of things to be able to go home and further your studies. So, anybody else have any questions or comments that came up at their table? Yes.
Jan, where does the gift of discernment come in with that? So say I'm interviewing someone to help care for my disabled son, and I am interviewing a girl, I just don't get a good vibe. You know, I'm thinking of that, I'm thinking of an employer situation, I'm thinking of boyfriend and girlfriend for one of my kids. You know, I'm thinking a teacher. You know, I mean, I can think of a lot of situations.
And that's what we talked about, and I think that's also, you know, that's gonna be part of some of the notes as well. But I think, yes, we are definitely told, right, to be able to judge in that positive sense, okay? When we're coming out of love from God and love of others, there's a big difference there. The key element here is negative. You know, that we don't go to that place of assuming the worst. We want to assume the best. And maybe it's just asking more questions. You know, but yes, the gift of discernment is something that definitely God wants us to use our discernment. We need to use our discernment.
And I think also a lot of those commands that, or you know, verses that she was talking about are particular to relational relationships. So as you're wisely discerning whether this is going to work in those different contexts, that's not you being critical of the person. Right. It's just you saying, this is not going to work right for this.
You have to think critically in that kind of situation. Because that's critical. I mean, that's a...
Well, I like your point about the motive of my heart. Looking for the nitpicking in the teacher or the employee or the boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. Yeah. But if the motive of my heart is, I really want what's best for my
Son. Exactly. And for them. They may not, they're not a good fit. I mean, I wouldn't be good for them or for you. Exactly.
For God or others, and a negative is the motive of my heart is not
selfish
desire.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah.
It's not the outcome of the judgment, but the motive behind my discernment, my decision.
Yeah.
That's all. That's
looking at our heart. Yeah. Anything else?
Another question. And this is kind of following up on Linda's first comment about just like when things do need to be followed up or not. And so, you know, should we pursue those things? I mean, yes, as you said, like, love overlooks offenses. And so, you know, but also it does say if a brother sins against you, go to that person. And so kind of where, and I wasn't here the last 2 weeks, maybe, so that was covered previously, but.
I think the huge distinction that I think is so important there is when you've been offended, it's your responsibility to go to the person that offended you and to get it right. Not wait for that person to come to you. And how often do we do that? It's incumbent upon us to go and say, I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood something here. Can we talk about this? Or, you know, maybe, you know, just like that one scenario I gave about how, you know, well, we so have to go from that, from that positive love, the love of God and love of others, and wanting to look for the best in any situation. Now, as it said, and that's why I wanted to make sure we talked about the part about that there are some limits, right? Because sometimes there's evidence that the things are very serious and wrong. I this was a huge issue for me for many years because I grew up in an environment where we never discussed anything. It was all swept under the carpet. Everything was buried. Nothing was discussed. And so I didn't know how to confront healthy. I didn't learn how to do that in my home. And that's something that God has had to really help walk me through over the years. Because when you're constantly valued that way, you just automatically go there. And it's a very slippery slope again, and a sticky wicket. You know what I'm saying?
I think I would also say when I'm trying to decide if I should go and reveal that I've been offended and confront the offender or not, I kind of evaluate two things. The scriptures say it's the glory of a man to overlook an offense.
Right.
So is this an offense that I can overlook? Or is it going to just cause bitterness to grow in my heart and it's going to influence the way that I interact with this person? And I'm having a really hard time overlooking it and letting it go because I feel really, really hurt by this. So that's one thing that I kind of evaluate. And I think I also think through, maybe that didn't totally hurt me, but I see this person doing this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And the most loving thing for him or for her is for me to go ahead and let them know that this is a habit that I've seen, and they, in order to love them well, I need to confront that, even though personally I can overlook this and it's not a big deal.
I think that's a very important point, and one that we need to think about, because it actually means if we don't do that, we hate them. That's not loving. We need to gently, cautiously, right? We talked about that, doing it cautiously and lovingly. But yes, it's important. When you see that, because what does Scripture tell us? That, you know, maybe our confrontation will be the one thing that would turn them around. Thanks. Anything else? Awesome. Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.